Okay, guys, we're back here from Punk Rock Holiday in Slovenia, and we're having here a member of one of the, I think, most relevant bands ever.
Oh.
So, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
My name's Carl Alvarez. I play bass in Descendants, and I think that's the band he's talking about.
Yeah, and so now you have to imagine all the gasping people on the internet. Oh, whoa, the Descendants. I mean, everybody knows you're back on tour. You're back with a new album. You did a documentary in 2013, so obviously you're back doing music and shows.
Well, we never really stopped. I mean, we had the band all going through many, many years where Descendants wasn't going. Bill runs a recording studio called The Blasting Room, so he's always busy doing music. Stefan runs his own recording studio as well. It's not like we ever really stopped doing it, but as it's sort of a, with us, there's very much a brotherhood, and it is something that you can hear on the record. There is a thing to me and Stefan and Bill and Milo playing together. There's a magic or whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's there. And it's nice that now we have the time. Now, a lot of it now for us is many of us have gone through health scares, as you saw in the documentary. Yeah. You know, Bill had some, I had some, and we've lost people. We lost Frank Navetta. Yeah. So there's a very real sense with this go-round that, I mean, we have to do it because we might not be around to do it later. You know, and I
don't know quite a lot of people who are really happy to see you playing and to listen to your new album, and obviously looking forward to your show today.
Yeah, I'm geeking out over having Flag on my bus, to be honest. You know, that's
okay.
Like, well, okay, there's a complicated relationship with Descendants and Black Flag, or maybe not complicated. They're kind of our dad band. They're very much the older guys we listened to when we were young.
Yeah.
And Bill joined Black Flag. He got lucky to do that.
Yeah.
And boy, to see those guys up there tearing it up every night, you know, because we do it on this tour, we do almost every other night. I do Descendants and then Flag plays. That's inspiring as hell to me. Like, people don't realize how deep tied we are with those guys musically and personally, but it's like my big brothers, you know, it's watching them do that.
Yeah, yeah. I think kind of a lot of bands have other bands in their vicinity who they relate to, and I think that makes a strong point in the punk rock scene.
When they used to talk about the scene, that's kind of what the scene was, really. You know, the younger guys would find a band that could maybe show them the ropes a bit. You know?
And I think you as the Descendants have had a lot of influence to quite a lot of bands who became very popular. I think like NoFX or Blink 182. Kind of funny is I know quite a lot of people who actually started listening to the Descendants because they heard the NoFX song, I think 13 Stitches it is, where he says he heard the Descendants, it's the fastest band he's ever seen. And I find it kind of, I think it's kind of funny because you've been around for so much longer than when the song came out, 2003.
Yeah, but I think that for every generation of kids that finds music, it's new to them. It's all new to them.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why they should know about Descendants coming into it. You know, that's cool. For example, when I was a kid coming into music, this scene that we're in, I really wasn't that aware of, nor did I care that much about the Stooges, who are an absolutely fundamental reality that we deal with in punk rock. That's like, that's the truth.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about them. I had to find them through the back channels, you know? Like the older musicians told me there's this cool band called the Stooges, so I listened, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely, I think being young today is so much better because there's so much to explore in the background of the music.
When I was young, you know, it was to get music that was out of the mainstream of any kind, whether it was reggae or even early rap music or punk rock or any of it, took a lot of effort and a lot of money.
Yeah.
You had to go to record stores in the weird part of town, and you'd order stuff online or order stuff through the mail that might not arrive. If you were curious about music, it was pretty difficult. Nowadays, it's kind of great. You go online, I'm curious. Well, let's see, what are the cool kids in Mongolia listening to today? Let's find out, you know?
Yeah, go online, listen to the music, order it, download it, ready. But
I'm very envious.
It lost a bit of its charm.
Which is, I think, why people still buy records, and I think why people still go and explore in weird record stores.
Yeah.
You know, there is a thing. Yeah. Most of the people I that became the bands in my town when I was young met at the record store. That's how you met people.
Yeah, that's where you hang out or where you talk to people about music. Yeah,
and that's now I guess you can meet online and talk about music, and that's cool, but, you know.
Yeah. So if you had a time machine, would you travel back in time or would you travel into the future?
I travel into the future because, you know, the thing is, it's nice to imagine that the past had advantages. But what I remember about, like, okay, what they talk about maybe the early 80s, late 70s and punk rock, I remember it was a very small scene. I remember everyone was pretty much broke all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's some good things. The music was wonderful and it changed my life. The bad things about it, I don't know if I'd really want to go experience some of those again. You know?
Yeah.
It's, you can't, and that's the great thing about time, you know, it kind of runs in one direction, so you can't second guess it.
Yeah. You know? I just have to have a quick look at my notes. You've been doing this music obviously for a long time. So you have seen the rise and fall of the popularity of pop punk music or hardcore music probably a couple of times. What's your take on the current situation in the kind of music you're playing?
I don't know. I can't even venture to guess. I imagine that, like I said, for every kid who finds music, even if it's, you know, someone finding a Beatles record who's 9 years old now, it's new to them. And I think there's a lot within this music, this punk rock, the hardcore community, whatever you want to call it, there is a thing where it's evergreen, and I'm not sure why. Every generation of kids that discovers it gets something from it.
Yeah.
And I don't think about the waves of popularity. I kind of think it's like a continuum because, to be honest, back in the 80s, we weren't all that popular. We, you know, maybe played with 300 people, maybe 1,000 people.
Was it
good.
Easier then?
No. Mm. I mean, just booking shows was, you know, you'd have to get up early in the morning on the West Coast so you could book the stuff on the East Coast. Everyone was pretty much doing it themselves as well. It was very do-it-yourself. And while it taught us a lot, I don't think most of us really are that nostalgic for the grind of it. It's a lot easier now. Now, okay, I'm playing this wonderful festival in Slovenia today, full of people who know the records of my band and all the other bands on the tour. And that's a freaking miracle, man. It's great. I like it right now, today. It's great.
Do you still go to live shows when you're not playing yourself?
I live in a town called Fort Collins, Colorado. There's a couple decent clubs, a couple decent bands, and I try to make it out at least once or twice a week to go and hear new music. Now, I fail because life intervenes, but I have a band called Endless Monster that I do, and I end up playing shows locally with, you know, with other bands, and I get turned on to stuff. It's cool. There's a band called Wire Faces in our town.
The Wire Faces?
Wire Faces. Yeah. You know, and also when we didn't do Descendants and didn't do All, I toured with Gogol Bordello and with Real McKenzies. I'm kind of always out seeing stuff.
You know. Is there a favorite venue you have when you want to go to live show?
Oh, gosh. You know, the favorite venues are largely gone now for me. And I don't, once again, not to be nostalgic about it, but CBGB's was a toilet, but it was our toilet. It was a horrible club, but it was great. And I miss it. Roseland Ballroom closed down. I always liked that place. For us, you know, a lot of the guys in bands, it's about the sound on stage, as petty as that sounds. You know, they may not get the whole event of the gig. So there's a place in New York called Irving Plaza I always like because it sounds great every time I play there.
I mentioned in the intro that you brought out a documentary called Filmage.
Made of us. We didn't bring it out.
What was it? What was the motivation to do a thing like that? Because I think
the filmmaker just thought that our story of our band was something worth making a movie about. And, you know, he was a fan of the band, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, he approached us about it, and it was very flattering and very interesting to have the a view from another angle, I guess, because I've been in it so long. And I guess the moment that really told me what it was worth to have a documentary like that is Frank Nevada, the first guitar player in the band. His daughters never knew him growing up. He was long gone, and he had mental issues. So watching this documentary, they got to see it.
Okay.
They got to see their dad.
That's huge.
Yeah. Sorry, getting misty.
Yeah. There's so much personal stuff in it. So I was wondering what it is for you to watch that documentary. I mean,
I'm happy it's funny. I'm happy that there are parts of it that are hilarious. That's the thing, because when I think of our group and all the shit we did all over the years, the jokes stand out more than anything else. The stupid humor, you know?
The farting humor.
Yeah, the sad shit. Well, yeah. No, the relationship. That's all. It is what it is. But it's still funny if I think back on it. Like, oh yeah, that was really stupid.
Yeah.
You know, we were, think about how young we were too. Because I think I joined the band when I was, I think, 22 years old. Yeah. And I had already been out on tours with Stefan and my other band. We were so young. You know, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know who let us out of the cage, man. That was weird. Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for being here, Mustafa. I have two other questions. One, would you mind taking a picture with us together?
Not at all.
That would be huge. And this is a colleague of mine. It's Stefan. He's doing an art project where artists read the lyrics of the Ramones.
It's crazy, man. And it's funny, too, because sometimes those lyrics are just so deadpan. I'm Carl Alvarez from Descendants. This is I Wanna Live by the Ramones. I've been thinking it over, and I know just what to do. I've been thinking it over, and I know I just can't trust myself. I'm a gypsy prince, covered in diamonds and jewels, but then my lover exposes me, and I know I'm just a damn fool. I give what I've got to give. I give what I need to live. I give what I've got to give. It's important if I want to live. I want to live. I want to live my life. I want to live. I want to live my life. As I load my pistol of fine German steel, I never thought I'd be so down and out having my last meal. But I know I can do it. It just took a few years. As I execute my killer, the morning is near.
Thank you.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.